Welcome to Gary England's Last Storm. This is Dave.
And this is Mark, and we're talking about that game coming up against the LA Clippers and the youth movement that's going on in OKC.
We want to share with you guys. We want to break down some of our favorite guys right now, give you some stats that you may or may not know. This is about our team, and we're excited to share this.
And as a bonus, we have some new direction we're going to take things in, and we got a shout out in a positive way at the end. So I hope you stick around to hear that.
Yeah, we're not talking shit this time. We're talking positive at the end. So listen around. All right, Mark, so check this out. One of the things you have to remember about the NBA, it's constantly evolving. Sometimes it takes 5 years, sometimes it takes 10 years, sometimes it takes 20 years, sometimes it takes 30 years for the NBA to evolve. Just like when it evolved from only having two-pointers to three-pointers, just like it evolved from being able to have the person that shot the ball, that shot the free throw, leave the free throw line at the exact same time. So you have somebody like Kareem Abdul-Jabbar, or Wilt the Stilt, that was shooting this free throw, getting his own rebounding and put it back up and in. They change rules constantly. So when the game is evolving like it has been recently, we get a lot of people that wonder why the Thunder are drafting certain players. Why are they going after some of these second rounders? Why are they trading future second rounders for certain second rounders that we have now? The thing that we have to recognize right now is the NBA is always changing. It's in a constant miracle round. At points, you might have a player like Draymond Green, who's one of the most valuable players on the team, who's the most valuable assets in the league. All of a sudden, in 5 years, he's no longer as valuable. He's kind of looked at as a guy that's useless in the aspect of scoring, and thus he's not as valuable as he used to be 5 years ago. And we can watch the NBA, how it's been evolving away from a big man, a typical strong in the post that can't shoot, but he can make post moves, he can rebound. The NBA has been evolving away from that. And I think it's important that sometimes when you don't understand and you haven't watched the NBA for a long time, the NBA makes it so that you fall in love with certain aspects of the game, so that you get hyper-focused about those aspects. And we've seen this a lot with a lot of different teams, but we're starting to see it with the Oklahoma City media. They got extremely excited about a certain facet about the game that they loved about KD, Russ, and Harden, and they haven't ever switched over and made the switch to make it available to recognize that this is the way the NBA is changing. So instead of stepping back and trying to absorb and trying to understand and trying to see what Sam is doing and trying to understand how it's changing, because we honestly don't know how valuable and how the NBA is going to change the lottery system. We don't know how the NBA is going to change how many picks that you can have as a team. The NBA is always changing. So if Sam has 16, 17 picks, then all of a sudden the NBA changes the rule, those 16, 17 picks are all of a sudden the most valuable assets in the league. And to me, that's where we start having – we need to step back and watch what Sam is doing. We need to observe it. We need to start looking into how he's been building this team, because I think it's crucial that you look how he built this team, because it's how he sees the future of the Thunder in the next 5 to 10 years.
Right, and what you said there is so important, and I really appreciate that. Well, I mean, the future, right? That's what it's all about. It's not about how things were in the past or what you're used to, right? Things are evolving right in front of our eyes. And I really appreciate an article that Nick Gallo wrote, and clearly he knows what's going on because he's pumping up the youth movement. And let's face it, if you're not pumping up the youth movement, if you're there to tear them down, right, then that's bullshit. It's not about that. We're here to tell you guys this is amazing, amazing evolution happening right in front of our eyes. SGA is a number one option. SGA is a leader on a playoff team. SGA is a leader capable of bringing a championship to the city of Oklahoma City. SGA has all the tools. He is only 22 years old. But he has everything that we need. And we are all about watching this young team develop. And as that happens, I believe that those young draft picks, I mean, those draft picks, those ping pong balls that we're all cheering for, because obviously Houston is a train wreck, and the Clippers, there's so many questions about their management, coaching, ownership, and, you know, just the players' buy-in. And everything that happens with the NBA, there's a ripple effect because the Thunder has their hands in so many different cookie jars. It almost everything that happens pretty much has some effect on the Thunder. And like you said, with the way that all the teams are overextended with their draft picks, it gives us the opportunity to really impact every single deal that's made going forward. And so when you look at it, what is the value of having all those draft picks? You know, is it something that we're going to leverage as many of those as we can to move as up as far as we can to get that number one pick? No. What I think the whole lesson that Sam learned through the difficulties of trying to build a contender with such a young core is that you find yourself in a spot where you have to trade a valuable piece to compete at the highest level if you're going to be able to get better. So you can be stagnant, or you can choose to make a run at getting better. And, you know, if you can compete and not have to make that choice, which is the beautiful thing that Sam Presti has provided us, is that he doesn't have to make that choice in the future. We get to fall in love with this team the way it is, and those 17 picks mean that whatever happens, like, they don't have to trade one of the valuable players to maintain the ability to improve. And that's why I love what's happening right now, and that's what I know that we're all about right now. So when we look at the youth movement, we look at them as the ability for us as a team and like a city and a community to buy in and really get behind a group of 19 and young 20-year-olds. So let's do it.
Yeah, Mark, I totally agree with what you're saying. I think it's important that you definitely pointed out that we don't have to collect on every single 17th first-round picks and the multiple pick swaps that we have. You know, recognizing that next year we could end up with two picks in the teens. Let's just say worst case scenario happens. Houston turns it around, semi turns it around, and they get like 15th, 14th. And then let's just say the Thunder have someplace around that as well. Okay, let's say, you know, 19 for Thunder. Okay, we're able to take those two picks. And let's just say that the worst case is Golden State runs in at like 19, right? So that means they get it, or 18. That means they get to keep their pick. We get two second rounders. So now we have two first rounders and two second rounders. The value in this draft for those two guys, those four draft picks, is incredible. And if Sam wants to take that and draft first rounders and get them on our team, then that's his prerogative. But do I think he's going to do that? No. I think he would have a better chance at getting a star player by trading those four picks to move someplace up in the top seven draft picks. And that's the type of value that we would have at trading a team that needs much more help than just one pick.
Right. And that's the thing about this, is there's options and there's so many different configurations that Sam can pull off. The key is there are too many picks for this team though. So, you know, whatever he does, he's not standing pat. So that's the exciting thing, is we get to watch every transaction, you know, as if it could have something to do with us. And sure, it's kind of like fishing. Not every time you go out there, you're going to get a bite. But the fact that you might get one means that there's a good chance we're going to be paying attention every single time. So that's the best part about what's going on right now, and we're really excited about that. But the team that we have out on the court right now is really, really blossoming in front of our eyes.
All right, Mark, one of the guys that you have been in love with since they have put a uniform on that says Oklahoma City on it is SGA. So we've been talking about this a lot. You and I have a lot to say on it. But let me ask you this one question. Why do you think SGA will be an MVP-type caliber player?
All right, so let's back up, right? As soon as we got the trade from him for the Clippers, because I watched him a lot when he was with the Clippers. And when we got that trade in, I said immediately that that was a good trade if it was straight up for Chris Paul. But I couldn't really say that to anybody. But I knew deep down that that guy had a special ability, and he was so young. But when you included all the, you know, Danilo Gallinari, all the draft picks, yeah, I was really excited. And last year, he exceeded my expectations in every way. And Chris Paul's investment in him has paid dividends. So watching him come back a bigger, stronger, more mentally prepared athlete and student of the game has really, really been amazing. So his progression year after year has been awesome. And this year he's had a little bit of a stagnation with his point scoring. And so a lot of people are kind of getting down about that because they were really anticipating what I was anticipating, which is that 25 points a game. But what I have seen is so much better than 25 points a game. I've seen someone who has killer instinct who refuses to force the game. So he takes what's there, and he's doing it at an incredible clip. He's shooting 36.5% on three-point shots right now, and he's shooting nearly five a game. So, you know, that's excellent. That will continue to improve because he's still learning, you know, his range. But I can tell he has a very good, you know, shot, and it's coming along, and he definitely has the confidence. And so as that develops, he's going to shoot more, and he's going to shoot at a higher percentage. I have no doubt about that. And he's shooting nearly 10 two-pointers a game at 57.5%. So he's shown the ability to finish, you know, at the rim, and his mid-range game is excellent. So he really attacks the, you know, the hoop on all three levels, at the three-point line, mid-range, and he gets all the way to the basket. And then I think the biggest place for him to improve, where it will easily result in more points on the board, is that free throw line. You know, he's shooting 4.3 free throws a game, and at this point, he's shooting 75%, but I know he's a better free throw shooter than that. I have no doubt about it. He's had some trouble with that, but it will come around, and he will shoot more. You know, if he was shooting 8 free throws a game right now, I might feel a little bit different about his 25 points a game, but since he's only shooting 4, I know he'll be able to get that up. That's something I know he's working on. So you take all that, and that kind of brings into he's averaging 21 points a game, but that's only focusing on, you know, the points and the scoring. You know, his rebound, 5.3 rebounds a game. You know, that's excellent for a guard, for sure. And his assist at 6.2 puts him in a spot where he is definitely moving the ball. He's not ball hogging it, and that's shown. And some people are a little bit frustrated he's not shooting as many shots as they'd want. But when he's making the right play, it's unbelievable. And I'm telling you right now, wait. Just wait until teams start sending a double team, because he is a great passer. And when they start sending double teams, which they will very soon, he's going to have a skip pass where he can just shred defenses. And it's going to take them a few games before they figure out that you can't leave your defender to help SGA. But in the meantime, his scoring will dip a little bit, and his assists will go up because he makes the right play. And someone who's not like committed to hitting a certain point total or hitting a certain efficiency number, and they're mostly committed to one thing, which is helping the team win and making whatever play, you know, it is necessary on the offensive end or defensive end, that's what you need. And, you know, he's doing it on the defensive end today. He's averaging nearly a steal and half of a block. And critical element with how high usage of a player he is, he's only averaging 2.7 turnovers. If you think about all those years with Russ and, you know, even a player like James Harden, you know, they average, you know, they always average league turnovers 5, 6, sometimes even almost 7 a game. You know, these guys go out and turn it over quite a bit, and people are willing to tolerate that because of what they generate on the offensive end, and I understand that. But if you can have someone who scores with all that of efficiency and then still only turns it over at 2.7 times a game, but, you know, assists at 6.2, you know, that's excellent. And that's what we're looking at. So anybody who thinks he's not an MVP, I mean, I don't know what you're looking for, because right there at 22 years old, you're not talking about anything else other than a future MVP candidate, you know, every year.
Yeah, Mark, I totally agree. And I think it's important that we point out some of the stats that he's been doing this year. Obviously, he's in the top 27 in scoring, like we've talked about before. He is 16th in assists right now. He has 6.2. He is 89th in rebounding. He has 5.3 a game. SGA is in the top of every NBA stat, top 50 of every NBA stat, except for rebounding and three-point percentage. Yeah, he's just been really impressive on every aspect of the game. SGA, really, in my opinion, has really exemplified exactly what type of leader he's going to be on the court to this team. Like Mark and I have said, we're really excited about this Clippers game, the next two Clippers games, because this is where SGA played his rookie season, and it's really going to be exciting to see how he goes back there to lead the team and be that main guy for a team like the Oklahoma City Thunder going into where he started off his career. So Mark and I, we're really big SGA fans. We believe that he is going to be a MVP caliber type player. Like Mark said, his three-point percentage is a little bit low, but he is going to get better in his shot. He has so much confidence. And if you watch Coach, he never tells him to stop shooting, which gives him more confidence. So we're gonna see an evolution of SGA's game in a big way over the next few months, and I would even say in an even bigger way in the next 2 to 3 years. We're going to see what type of player he's going to be and how he's going to help the Thunder completely compete every single year in and out.
Yeah, and I don't really feel like he has to become a better three-point shooter to continue shooting, you know, as many he's shooting. When you get to 36.5%, then, in my opinion, you have the green light every time. And, you know, of course, every great shooter wants to do that 50, 40, 90. They got to get to that 40% three-point shooter. So I know he's striving for that, right? But you don't want him to turn down good shots because he's trying to hit a certain percentage. So obviously nobody would ever ask him to do that. So I just want to see him continue to attack, you know, in the way that he's been doing. But like we mentioned earlier, Nick Gallo wrote that article. If you get a chance, go read it, because it really helps highlight the young players. And they accompany that with a little video and listening to the players, specifically SGA, Bazley, Dort, and Hami, talk about each other. They love each other. And we are here watching them mature right before our eyes. And I think there's something, you know, to say about each one of them. So, you know, let's start with Bazley. You know, Bazley has demonstrated the ability to stay consistent, even though things have been difficult for him. And I think, you know, we could focus on his stats, but right now I think the most important thing with Bazley is focusing on his confidence, because it's there, and I'm really, really happy with what I'm seeing from him.
Yeah, Mark, I agree. Bazley has been playing incredible right now. I feel like his high level of intensity is something that you want to see from the power forward position. One thing that I love to see from this guy, like you said, is his confidence in the shot, because I do believe it's going to start falling. I seriously think this will be an improvement of Bazley's in the next few months that will be really fun to watch. It will really be fun to watch when he starts hitting down more shots with more confidence, and he becomes a player that we can start counting on 15 to 20 points a game.
Right, and him going through these struggles is going to make it even more sweeter when he finally breaks through. And watching him celebrate, you know, right now he's been celebrating for his teammates like crazy, and watching them celebrate for him is going to be really sweet. Now, Dort, he's been killing it. Tell me what you know about Dort.
Well, straight up, let's just talk about the most obvious improvement in Dort's game this year, his three-point shooting percentage. Now, there's a couple ways that you can look at this. Some people can be super positive, and pretty much you'll see about 90% being positive. The other people will say, well, he'll slow down. Let's just talk about why we don't think that he's going to slow down. First of all, he's been hitting the open shot that he has, the open three, more consistently, way more consistently. It's something that doesn't show up on the stat sheet as much, but when he's open, it's pretty much going in. The second thing is that his contested three-point shooting, I believe the other day when I was looking at it, when he's contested, he's shooting about 32%. So that has improved tremendously. And that's something that we want to see bump up as time goes on. But that's something that we believe that it will come in time. And something that you have to recognize with Dort is his form and his release and the way that he has that "I am so chilled" release. It's something that we love to see in the NBA. It's something that, whether we're talking about a young player or an old player, it doesn't matter. There's a chill factor with a shot. And when it's money, it looks money. And his shot, the way he shoots the ball, the rotation on the ball, his form, everything that he does is the chill factor. And we love it because it's something that is going to continue to get better as time goes on. And it's something that we're going to see him continue. The second thing I'd like to highlight about his game is he's added something to his game that is beautiful. It is the one dribble, get to the middle, pull up for a mid-range jump shot. And every single time that, I mean, yes, I get a little hyped about Dort, but every time he does that right there, I get excited because his first step is so explosive and so quick, especially when he's been hitting a three and they go out to guard him. There's not a single player in the NBA that will be able to guard that. He goes out, he takes that first explosive step, he dribbles the ball, and he is pretty much in the middle of the court wherever he is at. So his extension is huge. The way that he pulls up quickly, the way that he shoots the ball, it's all money. It barely touches the net every single time. And the most beautiful thing about it, as the ball is going down, sometimes you hear it hit the back of the rim. And I love that sound. It's one of my favorite sounds. And it's something to really watch as he continues to get better, as he continues to add things to his game, because just remember, he's in his second year. He's improved his three-point shot in an incredible way, and he's added an incredible move to his game in 1 year. This is a superstar in the making. I think it's one of those guys that in 3 years, I mean, I say 3 years, but let's just say 2020 was the first year that teams drafted players that were like Dort, because they recognized his value. Yes, some of them may have been the second round, but the point is that people are starting to recognize the way that Dort plays, and they want to draft kids like Dort because they see that he has an incredible future in the NBA. GMs are trying to find that secret gemstone in the rough, like Sam did, and that's why we get so excited about this team, is because each one of these guys have been hand-selected by Sam to lead the team, to be part of the team, and to play like straight up balling like they do.
Yeah, and to top it all off, we could go on and on and on about Hami. And if you don't believe us, check out our last podcast, because I did. In fact, Dave told me that's probably enough about Hami. And I'll tell you what, you guys don't believe how much we love Hami, just go check it out, right? Hami's great. He brings the energy that we need, that bench needs every single time. So to me, that's the core of our youth core, that youth movement. Obviously, we've got a couple of rookies, and we could talk about them. But everybody's talking about Poku, and, you know, they all have opinions. But in the end, it's kind of silly to have much of an opinion right now, other than say he has supreme confidence.
He is absolutely the type of guy that you want shooting the ball. He's so different from the atypical body in the NBA, but that's stuff that we don't necessarily care about, because if you looked at Reggie Miller, if you looked at Seth Curry, you looked at all these guys that came up through the NBA, Giannis, they said that their bodies weren't, you know, ready for the NBA. Dirk, right? I mean, we could go on and on and on. Like, give this kid a chance. He's 19 years old. Like, it should tell you something that when he went off the board, a lot of teams in the 20s were really upset. And, like, that is something that's legit. So that is something that GM saw about him, that ex-players that still stay connected to the NBA saw. Like, these are all NBA experts that are talking incredibly positive about Poku. So just give him a chance. Let him get confident in his shot. Let him continue doing what he's doing on a daily basis. He is in the top five in block shots in the NBA and power forwards. He is somebody to keep an eye on.
Yeah, he is, and he's doing great. And, you know, we love him not getting discouraged and not listening to any of the haters, because there's nothing but love for Poku here. And Maledon, you know, Théo Maledon, he's got all the intangibles. Some of his passes and stuff, you know, getting deflected, like we said last episode, but let's just face it, with him, you know, with time, he's going to show that he's a very, very special player. You can tell he's got that quiet confidence, and he sees the game at a really, really great level, and his three-point shooting has been, you know, super consistent already. Like, I know that some people will look at it and just say, oh, well, the numbers don't show that, and that's fine. But, you know, when you're 19, it's not necessarily about how many you make as much as your release, you know, and your follow-through. And when you watch that, he's got it already. He's got the ability to really shoot that shot.
Yes, Mark, absolutely. And the other thing I love, absolutely love about Maladone is his ability to get the ball to the open guy. It is something special. Yes, he's having a lot of turnovers, but he sees the court in such a crazy way. But these are turnovers that we're okay with because he is in the top 100 in the NBA in assists. And that's something for a 19-year-old that he should be able to hold his hat on. He is averaging just under 3 assists a game. I mean, we're talking a smidge under 3 assists a game. This kid is exciting to watch. If you haven't watched it, you'll hear the announcer say at least twice a game, wow, that looked like Tony Parker. Like, this kid can straight up play. He is the kid that's going to be on this team for a very long time. Like, Sam is not going to trade this kid for anything. This kid is exciting. This kid is one of those guys that a lot of GMs are already kicking themselves for not picking up. And Sam is sitting there just being like, ha-ha, I got you guys again.
Right, you're right. I just want to shout out to Coach Rob, one of our Twitter followers, one of our biggest fans. Yo, so check this out. He's right, man. He tweeted today about how he just feels like he's screaming in the mirror all the time. Why do we let all the players go after they've learned our system and they can help us out, and they go and help out another team? And you're right. And it's frustrating to see. And a player like Maladon is a perfect example of someone that we're not going to let go. You know, this team is going to invest in him, and we don't have to feel worried about it. You know, that's what's so awesome about this youth movement is I feel like Sam Presti is going to protect us, and he's going to help nurture it, and he's going to help bring it along and give them the space and the room they need to grow. And importantly, you know, someone we haven't really mentioned yet, Coach Mark Degnault has been incredible at giving these players the responsibilities and the space they need to perform their duties and to live up to and surpass expectations. And when they have trouble, when they have struggles, they go back, they study the film, and they get out and they get better. And when I watch these players improve and I see them celebrating with their teammates, I always see them celebrating with their coach.
You're absolutely right. Everybody that has ever raised a child, everybody that has ever coached basketball, soccer, baseball, like any softball, any team sport knows the one thing that you have to do with young kids is take it easy. You can't yell and scream and embarrass them in front of their friends. Yes, there are coaches that do that, and shame on you coaches that do that, because get this, it is important to help children develop. It is important to help these kids understand how to play basketball, and yelling and screaming isn't going to do anything except for make them feel like they're doing something wrong. So when they go up to take a shot, guess what they're going to do? Oh, shit, coach is going to yell and scream at me. You know how I know that? Is because that's what happened to me. When I was a sophomore in high school playing ball, I had a coach that yelled at me constantly. Constantly this guy yelled at me. His name is Rennie Nickel. Dude was a good coach, but he was a yeller. He was a screamer, right? Constantly screaming at me. He made me second guess everything. Everything. And that's exactly what we're talking about. We're talking about allowing kids, allowing 19, 20, 21-year-olds mature and find out if they're really guys that we want on the team for the next 5 to 6 years. And that's exactly what Sam Presti did when he hired Coach D. He decided to let this guy, let the guys roll, let them play. And if you need any help, Coach is going to be here to help you do one thing, and that's develop, help you to teach you your game, because he's going to make you into a better player day in and day out. And I think that's exactly what we've been seeing with Coach.
Yeah, and one of the things I hear from the players over and over and over again is it's not just about basketball. You know, he's going to be there to help their development as individuals and as people. And I think they're going to become better people, not just better basketball players, for having spent their time, you know, in this organization and with Coach Degnault. And I feel privileged to watch what's going on right now. And there's a lot of people who are starting to recognize, you know, say that Lu Dort is a special player, SGA is definitely a special player. Certain people are recognizing that Bazley has elite talent, and some people are realizing, you know, Hami's got it. But what a lot of people are sleeping on is this team. And if you want to know how we feel about this team, well, I bet you already know if you've listened to us this long. But check it out, right? Coach Degnault, to me, he's the straw that mixes the drink, right? He's the one who stirs it all up, right? He's the Reggie Jackson, as he called himself back in the day. Like, let's face it, man. If this was just a collection of individuals, we wouldn't be as confident. But when you look at his skill at uniting the group, I mean, we're only, what, 13 games into the season? Give me a break. When this team is clicking on all cylinders, we're going to be really fun to watch. We are already very fun to watch, but we're super fans. So we pay attention to everything anyway. And, you know, I remember a few years ago, you know, we get excited whenever Jeremy Lamb would get in the game and stuff. So we're always watching the games. But watching, you know, you were the first one who told me about Lu Dort. And when you told me Dort is going to be special, I thought, yeah, I mean, we'll see, you know. And now I can't buy enough Dort stock. Like, give it to me. Like, Dort is awesome. Like, so everybody's jumping on that. But the question is, are we just a collection of individuals, or do we have the makings of a great team? And I think you know how I feel about that.
Yeah, every single time, man. I think our collection of talent and players and coach and GM and developmental coaches, I mean, we could go down the list, assistant GMs. I'm telling you, the entire structure of the Thunder basketball and how it was designed, that's what's the key right now. That's what we're talking about. Because that is what makes this Thunder team so special. Because we are underdogs. We are Oklahomans. Think about this. I mean, trace back the ancestries of our Oklahoma blood. You see what I'm saying? We're all underdogs. We are all the people that just go to Oklahoma. Like, there's nothing going on in Oklahoma. Go to Oklahoma. You know, the dust storm, we're part of that stuff. Our ancestry, we're part of that stuff. We have this whole idea of how Oklahoma is run. And that's why we are constantly saying, get behind this team. You know, we all took Oklahoma history in high school, right? So having an opportunity to sit there and enjoy basketball, whether they make the playoffs or they're right there, it doesn't matter because they're competing day in and day out. And that is what us Thunder fans love to see. We don't like our team waving the white flag 2 minutes in the first quarter saying, hey, we're trying to tank right now, so you guys just go ahead and score 50 points in the first quarter. We're not doing that. We're not the 76ers. We're not Philadelphia. We're not Philadelphia. We're Oklahoma City. So we should have pride with this team. And I know all you Oklahoma City fans are listening to us. You feel the same fucking way that we do right now. Because you love our team like we love our team. And that's why we continue to cheer for them. That's why we think that they're going to compete and they're going to be playing at the end of the year. And they're going to be playing harder. And does that mean they're going to get into the bubble at the end of the year? Whatever that is, there is a chance because the playoffs has been expanded for a couple of years. This is what we've been trying to tell everybody. We have a chance. That's it.
Yeah.
That's all we've ever been trying to tell everybody. We have a chance to be playing at the end of the year. That's it.
Yeah, man. So, like, my favorite podcast for basketball talk, The Mismatch, they're awesome. And Kevin O'Connor, they only talked about the Thunder for 2 seconds, but Kevin O'Connor said competitive. That was the one word I heard him say, competitive. And he was talking in reference to the upcoming Blazers schedule and the fact that we'd be facing them. And he was saying it wouldn't be an easy game for the Blazers because we're competitive. So anybody who tells you tank, get over it, go look up in a dictionary. There's one thing you'll notice. It says non-competitive team. Field a non-competitive team. We are competitive. The NBA recognizes we're competitive. The only people who didn't recognize that we were competitive were the people who were trying to hope that we would be bad. So since these people were considered experts, they gave all the other NBA experts bad intel and told them how bad we would be. So everybody's been convinced that we're going to be bad in some sort of human centipede of bullshit where they just feed each other shit, Humpty Dumpty, the Three Stooges, and all that. But let me tell you, you're not going to get any of that here, because the truth is this team was made to compete. This is not a tanking team. This is a 100% bring it. We want to compete now. We're not going to wait till next year or 2 years to put down the road. We're competing now. We're competing now. The rebuild is already started.
Put your favorite chill clothes on. Turn the TV on. Turn out the negativity. And watch the Thunder for yourself. And I guarantee you, you'll do one thing. Win or lose, you're going to enjoy the basketball game. Because you're watching these players play hard. You're watching these players compete. You're watching them put every single ounce of effort on the court. I mean, I watch these guys walk into the locker room, win or loss. Yes, they're up and, you know, happy and stuff like that, but you can tell there's nothing left in their tank. And that's something that you like to see as a fan. You like to see as a coach. You like to see as a GM, and you like to see as an owner. So this team is special. And all we're asking our fans, all we're asking for the other Oklahoma City media people is just to watch the Thunder, enjoy their game, enjoy what they're doing, observe the positive, and then tell the fans, because that's all we want. That's it.
Yeah. Yep. Yep. And I'm telling you right now, watch Dort play, because right now every game, he's like Picasso out there, and he's leaving a masterpiece every single game, you know. And sure, he can't always win every game for this team, but he's not giving up and he's not backing down. And SGA, we already talked about it, and we talked about all the teams. So you guys know how we feel. I'll just tell you this, Al Horford still going to be out because he's with his wife. They just had their fourth child. We're so happy for them, and we hope they continue to enjoy the time, the rest, the family time. And George Hill, you know, he's been balling and showing that leadership. And we're going to need him to really help us out, because this is the type of road trip where the veteran leadership is so critical for us. Obviously, shout out to Kenny Hustle. He has been balling, and everybody's jumping on the Kenny Hustle train, and so we are too. And obviously, the way he defends, the way he plays every day and just lays it all on the line, you know, that's what we're all about. That's what the city's all about. That's what the state's all about. That's the underdog mentality, and, you know, we're all about giving people chances, you know. And he wasn't really ever given a chance before. But if we have somebody that's willing to do the dirty work, hell yeah, that's sign us up. We'll take that.
This is, again, Dan Presti working a masterpiece, diving in the dumpster and finding these massive jewels that could develop into unbelievable basketball players. This is the type of player that we watched Dort start off the season last year, playing really good defense, you know, impacting games, and he would go in, right? He would score once in a while. But this is the type of player that I felt Dort was early last year. And the way that he is continuously playing defense and he's getting confidence with a shot, he has no fear mentality. He goes at you. He doesn't care who you are. He will go up against you. I love this kid. I love the way he plays. I love the way he leads. And this is somebody that we all need to get excited about, because if he is in the wearing a Thunder uniform for many years to come, this is a guy that he will become a fan favorite for a very, very, very long time. He reminds me of John Starks. And that is something that you can look at and you can correlate with the New York Knicks, and knowing that the New York Knicks' favorite player during that time was John Starks. He was selling the most jerseys. He was a fan favorite. This guy reminds us of him, and we get excited about it.
Right. I still have my number 3 New York Knicks John Starks jersey, and I wear it anytime I'm feeling feisty, because, man, that guy could get pumped up to play basketball, and he loved taking on the best players in the league, and he loved competing against Michael Jordan and watching him dunk over Jordan. I had a chance to ask him about that, and that was pretty special. And, you know, I had a chance to compete against his son, and, you know, we laid it all on the line, and that was fun. You know, it wasn't at a very high level, but still, him being my favorite player and having a chance to play against his kid, that was pretty cool. And I'll tell you, John Starks was not as tall as he looked on TV somehow. And when, you know, when he competed, it put him in a spot where he was willing to, you know, jump against Michael Jordan. And watching that happen, you know, seeing that person, in, you know, in person, it makes me realize it's all about heart, right? And so I'll tell you, right now, with Kenny Hustle, he's got it. You know, he's got that, you know, that mentality where I can tell, like, once you find a player that's had trouble fitting in, you know, why would he want to go anywhere else? You know, and once you have that loyalty and you can anticipate, you know, that he's got your back, then, you know, you don't need to go keep turning over rocks to find somebody else. You've got Kenny Hustle and he's got your back. And I feel like that's what we have. And I feel like he is the perfect point to wrap up, because to me, he epitomizes this whole team. You know, it's a team of second chances. It's a team of opportunities. It's a team that as we work hard and we have each other's backs, you know, we're going to improve and we're going to get better. So, you know, every game there's something special to see. And they're not all wins right now, but who cares? Everybody was anticipating us to lose. You know, we had like a 2% chance by ESPN to make it into the playoffs. Well, I don't care. I don't care. Like I said, it's that human centipede, and we don't care about that. We're going to let that just keep on going in the direction it's going. And we're going to tell you what we see with pure honesty, 100% integrity, because all we care about is watching our team kick ass and take names. And next up, it's the L.A. Clippers, and we're going to be there. We're going to be watching that game. Fuck yeah, man.
Hell yeah. Like, tune in, tune out, whatever you want to do. We don't care. Throw us a review online. We've gotten some pretty crappy reviews. Just recently, we got a review that said 1 star. Shocking. These guys are awful. They are awful. If I could give them a 0, I would. Listen, that's the type of shit that we love. We love to know how bad we are because we shit talk. That's what we do on this show. We shit talk. We're going to tell you how it is. If you haven't called it right, we'll let you know. That's the way we do it. That's the way we call it. It doesn't mean every episode we're going to be shit-talking anybody. It doesn't mean we're going to shit-talk for 30 minutes anymore, but we are going to call it out when it's wrong. And this
anytime,
is our team.
Anytime Humpty Dumpty or the Three Stooges trip over themselves, we'll be there.
Yeah, this is our team. You're going to talk negative about it. You're going to do something. I mean, pretty much if you listen to Down to Dunk like we do on a daily basis, and we've decided that no longer we're going to do that anymore, but if you listen to the Three Stooges, I promise you this, you'll see negativity every single second of the episode. They might talk positive, but they always say the positive, and then they say, but, right? Because they can't help themselves. What we're doing right now, we want to lay incredible positivity on the Oklahoma City Thunder players and the Oklahoma City Thunder media that do a good job. So
like
Nick Gallo.
Good job,
Nick,
buddy.
Michael Cage.
Yep.
Doing awesome. Fisher, you know what? You're getting there. We love you. I love the positivity that you find stories in these guys. I love the way you call the game. So thank you very much. Not that you'll ever hear it, but thank you very much. You guys are doing great. Thank you for representing the Oklahoma City Thunder with pride. We appreciate you guys.
Because this is a young team, and we can focus on the negatives because there's going to be things where they make mistakes. You know, but we don't have to make every day Shaqting the Fool, okay? Three Stooges, you don't have to highlight all the Shaqting the Fool moments right now. Let's focus on the positive, all right?
Yeah, absolutely. Positive, 100%. We're the Thunder.
All right,
guys.
Man, we appreciate everybody joining us for Gary England's Last Storm. We'll be back tomorrow after the game.
Thank you for listening to Gary England's Last Storm. Stay tuned tomorrow, actually, let's just say Saturday early morning, when we drop our new episode of the game against the Clippers. We always believe every game is a winnable game, so we are incredibly excited to watch this game. Mark, I know this is going to be a late game for you. What time will the game be on for you?
It starts at 10 o'clock for me, but of course I'll be there for it because, you know, why not? We'll get our podcast up. I'll go to sleep probably around 4 o'clock, but who cares, you know, that's just the way we roll. So check it out. We're going to be competing, like he said, every time we go out to play, we expect to compete. Our coaching staff expects to compete. Our players expect to compete. So don't let anybody tell you that this is a tank, because you can't use those words. You can't say compete so many times and it be a tank. So, you know, get used to it.
Fall in love with the Thunder players. Fall in love with them because these guys are the foundation for the next 12 to 15 years for this team. Fall in love with these guys. Don't take them for granted. Watch them on the team. Buy their jerseys. Write them a tweet. Write them a Facebook message. Do whatever you take to show them the love that they deserve. Thank you for listening. We appreciate you guys.